Well, we're concluding our series of studies in women in the New Testament, and it seems appropriate to think about Mary this morning. And we're going to focus in on Mary's praise of God, as it's recorded there in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55. Elizabeth has pronounced Mary blessed because she believed. Verse 45 says, "Blessed is she who has believed." And this composition of Mary tells us what she believed and sets out for us the things that Mary believed, the things in which she trusted, the things on which she relied. It's known as the Magnificat. That's related to its translation in Latin. That begins with the word magnify. I will magnify the Lord. It's actually all about how magnificent God is. 10 times in these 10 verses, we're told of God's action. 10 things that God does or God did. This is full of praise of God. How magnificent God is. Well, let's see what Mary believed. That gave motivation to this great praise of God. First of all, what God is. And in the first part of this, Mary states 3 things about what God is. "My soul glorifies the Lord," she says. "My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." That's the first thing God is, my Saviour. "He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One," that's another thing Mary believes about what God is, mighty, he's the Mighty One, "has done great things for me. Holy is his name." That's the third thing Mary believes, that God is holy. Holy is his name. Well, let's think about those 3 things. What God is: personal Saviour. "My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." Christianity consists in personal pronouns. Remember what David said: "The Lord is my shepherd." He is my shepherd. What did Thomas say when he saw the risen Jesus? "My Lord and my God." My Lord, my God. What does the Apostle Paul say regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? "He is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Those personal pronouns, me, my. And Mary gives voice to that. God is a personal Saviour. He is my Saviour. He's not just the Saviour. He is my Saviour. The one who saves from sin and self and shame, the God who rescues and delivers us. Mary knew God as personal Saviour. Do you know God as personal Saviour? Yes, he is the Saviour, but is he my Saviour? Can you say with Mary, "God, my Saviour, because I know that he has rescued me. He has saved and delivered me from sin and self and shame. He is my rescuer." Mary confesses this regarding God, who God is. This is why she's praising God, because of who God is. "My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." The personal Saviour. Then also she rejoices because God is the Mighty One. Verse 49, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." The word suggests the ones with, he's the one with ability. Remember, the angel had spoken to Mary about that back in verse 37. It's the same word that's used here. "For nothing is impossible." That's the negative of this word here. God is the one who can do, he's got ability. There is nothing impossible with God. God has got the ability to do everything. And that's what Mary confesses here. He is the Mighty One the God who is able. Nothing can thwart God's plan. Nothing can stand in God's way. He is the mighty one with ability to do what's impossible. For Mary to become pregnant as a virgin, for Elizabeth, old and barren, to bear a child. Nothing is impossible with God. He is the God who is able. And that's another thing worth investigating in you. Get your concordance out and look at the times when we're told what God is able. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He is able to save to the uttermost. God is able. God has ability. And that's what Mary rejoices in. That God has ability. This God with such wondrous ability has done great things for me. Again, there's that personal experience of God working on her behalf, doing great things. And Mary confesses that that's why she'll be called blessed. Notice that. The end of verse 48. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. They won't call me blessed because of what I am. Mary's not saying that. Generations will call me blessed because of what God has done for me. And indeed, Mary is blessed because she was the one chosen to give birth to the great Messiah, the one to rescue and save God's people. There's a helpful balance that comes later in Luke's Gospel as we think of Mary being blessed by coming generations. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 27, just so that people don't get carried away with thinking of Mary as blessed, and some people do, in Luke chapter 11 and verse 27, Jesus has been teaching. And we read in Luke 11 verse 27, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Jesus was a Protestant. See, it's the word of God. Mary is blessed. And Jesus doesn't say she's not blessed, but rather, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. That's true blessedness, to hear God's word. And then to put it into practice in our lives, there is blessedness. God is personal saviour. God is the one with ability. And God is holy. Holy is his name. Of course, we know that's what the angels around the throne in heaven proclaim. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It reminds us that God is set apart. That's what the word holy means, basically set apart. God is set apart from all creatures. God is set apart from all other supposed gods. God is set apart from everything evil, sinful, and wrong. God is the one who is set apart in his person, in his being, in his attributes. God is altogether different from everything else and anyone else. Holy is his name. So this is what Mary confesses. This is what Mary believes about what God is. A personal saviour, the mighty one with ability to do what he says, the one who is holy, the one who is deserving of reverence and awe and worship in his being. What God is, that's what Mary believes, and that's why she brings this song of praise. But then she speaks about what God does. She turns now from what God has been to her and what God has done for her to speak more generally in verses 50 to 53 of what God has done and what God has been in the past. And so what God did for lowly Mary is typical of what God does. So notice what she says in verse 48. And again, it's interesting to note what Mary says about herself, very little. And what she does say, verse 48, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. All that Mary speaks about herself is her lowliness. We said, didn't we, in our previous song, his mother mild, lowly, humble. Well, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And Mary recognises that that's what God always does to those who are humble. And so she goes on to speak of two particular attributes of God, his mercy and his might. His mercy, verse 50, extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds, or literally he has performed might with his arm. His mercy and his might. His might in humbling the proud, his mercy in exalting the humble. And that's what Mary traces now. She thinks more widely of God's activity, what God does. He exhibits his might in humbling the proud, his mercy in exalting the humble. And so, verse 51, he performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. And the end of verse 53, he has sent the rich away empty. The proud, the rulers, and the basic idea behind that word is people with power. The proud, the powerful, and the rich. These are those who are self-sufficient and self-reliant. Beware. Beware of being self-sufficient and self-reliant, thinking that you don't need anyone else. You're quite comfortable on your own. You don't need anyone else to help. Beware. These are the ones that God opposes and God humbles. And so what does God do with these different characters? He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has sent the rich away empty. That's his might in bringing those who are self-sufficient and self-reliant to nothing and humbling them. His mercy is seen in exalting the humble. That's the converse of these things. So he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. So here we have the opposite, those who are humble and hungry. And the word that's used for humble is one in the Greek language that the Greek writers despise this word. It's a horrible word to them. It's not a virtue. It's something to be despised. But here, God lifts up the humble. Again, it's that same word that Mary had used earlier, those who are lowly, those who are down. The lowly, those and the hungry, those who are needy. See, here's the opposite. Those who are self-sufficient and self-reliant, God brings them down. Those who are needy, God raises them up. And so what God has done for Mary, remembering her in her lowly estate, that's what God does. And that's what God has done down through history. And so, again, that theme is taken up repeatedly in Scripture. We could think of characters, Moses, despised, he was chased out of, he was rejected by his people when he tried to sort out that dispute that was going on, and then he's sent out into the wilderness where he cares for sheep. He's the meekest man on earth, we're told, but God raises him up and makes him the leader and deliverer of his people. Well, what does Peter saying, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. See, this is what Mary believed about God, that God humbles the proud and exalts the humble. And Peter is quoting from the Proverbs, which James also quotes, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. All of you, therefore, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Yes, we have to humble ourselves before God. He also says, humble yourselves with one another. As Paul says, think of others as better than you. Mary's boast is in God, not in herself. What God is and what God does. And then, thirdly, why God did what he did. And this is the last two verses of Mary's praise. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Why did God do what he did? Why has God produced this miracle in Mary's womb that she give birth to the promised king? Because of his merciful commitment to the people of Israel. It's because in mercy, God committed himself to Abraham and his descendants. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. God made a promise to Abraham, and God is keeping his promise now in producing this child in Mary's womb. God keeps his commitments. God does what he says he will do. Yes, at his time and in his way. But God keeps his commitments. God does what he says. God keeps his promises. I don't know if you're going to make some commitments in the new year, your new year's resolutions. I'm going to commit to do this and do that. And they're probably made with all good faith, but things will happen that means you can't keep those commitments. Things you didn't foresee, perhaps relating to your own willpower, and other things might happen. But God keeps his commitments because he is able. He is the mighty one. He is holy. So he will always act in keeping with his character. He is the Saviour. So whatever 2020 may hold, or the next 20 years may hold, here is our security and comfort. That God will keep his commitments. God will do what he has promised. He will not fail in his time. And in his way, God will do what he has promised. And we can rely on him. We can believe in him. We can trust in him. And that's what Mary's song is a response to. Don't forget, Elizabeth said, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. She believed that what God had said would happen. And she's recalling now that this is happening because God said it would happen years and years before. God keeps his commitments. He's committed to his people. God is committed to us in Christ Jesus. He sent his son to be our saviour, to rescue and redeem us. God has made commitments to us. He is in covenant with us. He will not fail us. He will not let us down. We can rely on him 100%. And so we don't just lend God our vote, as some people have lent Boris Johnson their vote at the last election to see how he'll perform, and perhaps next election they'll still give him their vote. No, we can put our total confidence in God and the promises he's made, the pledges that he has given, because he is the unfailing God who in mercy will keep his commitments. And again, it's a mercy on God's part. It's not that we're deserving, it's because we're needy that God in mercy will do as he has promised. Well, this is Mary's praise of God. Praise for who God is. My Saviour. The one who is able. The one whose name is holy. What God does, he humbles the proud and exalts the humble. Why God did what he did? Because of his promise. Because of his commitment in mercy to his people. Well, may we be blessed along with Mary because we've believed what God has promised and that he will accomplish it in our salvation, in our glorification, when Christ returns to reign over all. We're going to sing our final carol, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King.